Lord, because we want to partner with you. So without further ado, Carrie is coming up, and she is an awesome worship leader, and she's the head of prophecy for this church. And she's really good. And what else can I say except for there's a lot of people who can do the stuff in this church, and Carrie is one of them. So without further ado.
Thank you. Here's me. Yay. I like getting a clap before it starts. It makes you feel a lot better. Before I start this morning, I'm going to take an opportunity to just thank three people. There are a lot of people that come out and help every single Sunday, but today I'm going to thank three, and that is going to be Aileen, Mario, and Kevin, because Aileen and Kevin right now are learning how to do the sound. And Mario has learned it in the past few months. He's doing it. So can everybody turn your head and find one of them and look at them and say, thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Isn't it nice to be thanked? Because really, it's easy to see what people that are up at the front do. Like, because, you know, you can see, you know, Jay. You can see, you know, what a worship leader is doing. You can see what a preacher or speaker is doing. But you don't always see the people who are winding up the cords, who are adjusting the sound levels so you can hear it. You know, so we really want to bring attention to those. And of course, you know, backup singer, everybody. Okay. Today, when I was preparing for this, it's like I had a whole bunch of really what I thought were good ideas and thoughts go through my head. And I'm like, but how do they all fit together? And they do, but when speaking to them, they kind of also don't. So maybe it might sound like I'm preaching about four different topics and sort of jumping here and there, but I hope at the end it's going to come together for you. You're going to understand a little bit more. I couldn't get off of it. I couldn't get off these sort of thoughts that I really feel like God was putting on my heart, and I really do have a strong passion for it. I don't know how fast this is going to go. I don't know how smoothly it's going to run. But I hope when it's all done, you'll be able to have like a bit of an ah moment. I want you to leave here today. My biggest want today is that you leave here being inspired. I want you to feel a little, have inspiration and feel better about who you are than when you came in. So that's the final goal. And before I do that, as always, can we pray? I can't believe Jay already read some of my notes. He ruined the surprise. I'm really, really loud. Mike, the speaker's kind of funny or something. Okay. Father, thank you for being here this morning. Thank you for being with us as we worship, as we commune with one another, as we are even on break. And thank you for the friendships that we have formed. I just ask right now that you would help me to relay your message of what you want to say to the congregation today with clearly and with accuracy. I feel that I just pray that everybody would leave here feeling inspired and more in tune with who you are. Holy Spirit, as always, we just welcome you here and have your way. In Jesus' name. Take a look. Okay. So I'm going to start off with, okay? It was just the angels singing behind me, the feedback. Lowered it. Thank you, Jay. Okay, oh, now you can see my face. Oh, now I went away. There I am, okay. So we're going to start off with the Pentecost story, so Acts chapter 2. And this is about what? What happens in Acts chapter 2? It's not a trick question. The Pentecost story, what happens? The Holy Spirit comes, okay? So this is verses 1 to 4. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. This is amazing. Like, I just want you to actually take a moment. And sometimes when I'm reading the Bible, you know how you can get kind of in the mode of just reading over and not really concentrating on what is being said? But to actually picture it. So there's Jesus' disciple. They're in a room. Imagine, play it like a movie in your head. They're sitting there and they're praying. And then this wind starts to blow. They're not talking just, you know, oh, I you know, the wind of God spiritually. Like, a wind blows. And then tongues of fire come and they separate. And they land on their heads. Like, how amazing is that? And they've never experienced this before. So this is like an absolute phenomenon for them. So at this moment, everything changed. Human existence changed. It was no longer the same. Why? Because now they had the Holy Spirit living inside of them. Before, they didn't. They had, the Holy Spirit would maybe come and rest on them. They, you know, God's presence was found in the tabernacle. So all those figures in the Old Testament, you know, all those characters we have Elijah, Elisha, or Elisha, however you want to pronounce that, Moses, Jacob, all these, you know, or prophetic people or people that went around doing miracles during this time, they were at a slight disadvantage to us now because they didn't have the Spirit of the living God living inside of them. They had it around them. They were able to speak to God. They worked out of obedience and perseverance. How much more are we capable of when we have God living in us? If we have that same obedience, we have that same perseverance, than even they were. I want you to really, really think about this. God created everything. He's creator. He's the all-powerful. He's in charge of everything. He's in charge of heaven. He's in charge of earth. He's in charge of hell. He's in charge of everything in between. There's nothing that he doesn't know. There's nothing that he cannot do. And he decided that he wanted not only to be around you, he wanted to be in you. You have a powerful resource inside your body. The one who created the whole world lives inside your body. What? Amen. Like, he lives inside your body. And I feel like I just have to keep saying it over and over again because it's like we know it and we pray it, we teach it. But do you really, really know it? Do you really, really know it deep in that he's inside your body? And, you know, with that knowledge, how does your life change? What about you is going to change? You know, I just want you to keep thinking about that. We are so blessed to have that. We have such great opportunity because we have the Spirit of God living inside of us. Today I'm going to be pointing out a lot of the opportunities that we have, a lot of how lucky we are, I guess I should say. So now I'm going to jump tracks a little bit here, and I'm going to ask you, what do we have in this church? You know, so first we have the Holy Spirit living in us. We have an all-powerful God. But what do we have here in this church? We have the ability to grow. We really do. Like in this our particular church and TACF as a whole, the leaders that are currently standing actually want to see you grow and develop. And they want to give you opportunities. This is not the same all across the board. You know, I'm sure there are places, but they're not as many places who are willing just to take people who come off the street, maybe are new Christians or wherever, and maybe never had experience doing certain tasks before, and thrust them into leadership, say, we will help you, we will support you along the way. Like, here you have an opportunity to speak, to lead worship, to run small groups, to be on the prophetic, to pray, to intercede. We have all these fabulous opportunities that this church and TACF as a whole, I'm speaking about right now, has provided for us. Like Mike and I were saying, you know, if we ever were to move in the future at some point, you know, where are we going to ever go where they're going to let us preach? Or they're going to be, well, they'll say, sure, Carrie, you go prophesy. you know, I don't have anything. I mean, I do have a degree. You know, a degree doesn't get you much, but you know, and it doesn't say, oh, that makes you a good preacher, you know. I don't have a Master's of Divinity or anything like that. You know, there's not too many places where I can go. We have to take advantage of this. The whole point of us being here on this earth is to grow and develop and to stretch ourselves and step outside of our comfort zone. We have to take the opportunities. And again, I'm saying this right now, like we have the living God inside of us. That's like the biggest thing. And now we have a church that supports us as well. Like what could possibly be holding us back? You know, we are called to live in eternity. You know, and eternity with God is a very, very long time. It doesn't end. Do you know that in heaven you could explore a new place every single day and never come to its end? It does not end. It's fabulous. You know, they talk about the universe is expanding. God's a creator. He can't stop. God can't stop creating. God is love. He doesn't stop loving. God is peace. He doesn't start providing peace. God is creator. He doesn't stop creating. It's just going to be ongoing forever and ever and ever. And I want to be a part of that. And I want to make sure that I can do everything I can here on this earth to be a part of that. I want to give you a little example. You might not understand it first. You'll get it at the end. Imagine somebody walks up to you and says, I want you to lie down here on the floor and I want you to do one sit-up. If you come and do that one sit-up, when you're done, I will guarantee that you will have the most perfect body for the rest of your life. You will be in wonderful health. You will have strong muscles. You will never be sick the rest of your days here. Would you do it? Yeah, you would. Yeah, everybody's like, yes, I would. Or, you know, would you say, oh, my back's kind of sore. I can't get on the floor right now. Would you say, well, you know, I just woke up. Just give me 10 minutes, and I'll get around to it, and then I'll do it then. Or would you say, oh, thanks, but no, I don't think so. I'll just, you know, continue with existence as I have right now. Our life here on Earth is about the equivalent of one sit-up. We do one sit-up here for 1 to 90-some-odd years. It's a long sit-up, I know it seems. But compared to eternity, we will have a perfect body for the rest of existence. So, like God is asking, will you do one sit-up to have perfection for the rest of your existence? And it's not just about being saved. You know, it's not just about getting into heaven. It's about experiencing everything that heaven has to offer. There are rewards in heaven. Now, I know we all like to, I'm not in it for the reward. No, I'm just here to love and serve God. Yes, you are. God made rewards. Why not enjoy them? You know, you may not be that shouldn't be your driving force, but not take advantage, but you know what I mean. It's a perk. So, you know, if we can, I mean, it's heaven. I want to be up where the big wigs, what we consider to be big wigs, where they're hanging out. I want to enjoy them up on their higher mountaintop. I want all of that because God wants us to have all of that. You know, and there's nothing wrong with a good reward. And you know, being here in this church and being able to grow in all these things that God has called you to do gives us that opportunity to not only get to know God more intimately and to be more confident with who we are here and now, but it gives him the opportunity to have us glorified with him even more so later on. Every deed does not go unnoticed. He notices everything we do, and he notices every heart that we bring to him. He notices everything. So it's time to start doing. And it's not out of, you're not doing it out of striving. It's just, it's being done out of a place that we're so fortunate, we're so lucky. It makes us want to do more. It makes us want to do it. I'm going to jump it again. Do you realize that we are already living in a revival? Some people are nodding. I'll close my eyes. Now ask the question again. Tell the truth. Do you realize that we are already living in a revival? I'm not looking. Some of you do, yeah. Sometimes I think we don't. Sometimes we do, and sometimes we don't. So often we call out for revival, and I think I hear God's calling, saying back time, it's already here. I'm here already. We're going, God, more revival. He's like, I'm here. It's just going back and forth. We're still yelling. We're not listening. We're not listening to what he's saying. He's like, hello, I'm here. You know, the other day I was baking cookies with Eliza, and she was all the time where I was trying to get the stuff out ready, and she was saying, are you making cookies? Are you making cookies? Are you making cookies? And I'm like, we're making cookies. We are making the cookies. Like, this is part of it. This is, you know, getting out the ingredients. Here's the bowl. And, you know, I got kind of frustrated at the moment, but I'm like, you know, it's kind of like, may God, like, we, it's already happening. Stop asking. Stop asking. Start declaring. Start seeing it. You know, I think the problem is that it can look different than what we expect it to look like. You know, we expect revival to look a certain way, so when it doesn't, we keep asking for it. Imagine you're standing in a lake, okay? And you're standing there in waters, wherever you want it to be, at your ankles, up your calves, wherever you like. You're standing there in the water, and waves start to go up over you, okay? So waves are lapping over your feet, and some of them come really calm and steady. And then every once in a while, the waves get rougher and they kind of knock you around a little bit. And then you're standing up straight again. And other times it might be just perfectly still. No matter if the waves are rough, the waves are calm, your feet still get wet. They will be wet. If you are in revival, no matter if it's coming on hard force at you, and you think you can see it really clearly, or if it's coming in smaller whispers, you are still in revival. You're still just as wet when it's all going crazy around you as when everything comes and is peaceful and calm. You know, I'm always, sometimes it might be a silly thing to think about, but I think when I jump in water, boy, I can't get any more wet. If I jump in quickly and come out, I'm just as wet as if I stay there, you know, for 5 minutes and get out. You know, with revival, you will get wet. You know, and we look, when we think of revival, I think we think, when the first comes to my mind is all these, like, miracles happening of something that you can actually tangibly hold on to and see. This is me. This is what I think of. I think of, like, people flooding in, and they're flooding up to the front and laying their lives for Jesus. And then, you know, arms or limbs are growing out, and, you know, there's sounds coming from nowhere, and there's gold dust, there's gold dust falling. And this is all the things that I want to see. I do want to see this. But it also comes with the changing of people's hearts. And that's like a main thing. You know, so in this congregation, you know, I may have not witnessed a deaf ear being opened, but I've seen a heart that was once shy go to courage. And I may have not seen someone walk in with crutches and leave running, but I got to stand and listen to someone give their life to Jesus. What's the greater miracle there? That is also revival. That's revival. We have revival striking up in this church. You know, we come to church sometimes, and we worship and we listen to the sermon, and then when we're done, we say, oh, I didn't really feel God today. Where was he? Meanwhile, someone two rows over has just had a heart-wrenching experience. God was there. Where were you? You know, this is, whenever I speak, I want you to know that I never speak on anything that I haven't experienced or I'm experiencing right now. So I never want you to think, well, you know, she's really not very nice up there. This is exactly usually what I'm going through and usually in the moment. So, like, when I get up here, I'm very truthful. I'm revealing flaws. Here I am. Sometimes, when I have an ear for music. I'm not a musician, like, I don't play an instrument, but I do have an ear. And out of tune and out of rhythm stuff is like nails on a chalkboard for me. It's like, for some people, it doesn't matter. For me and my father, so we can kind of, you know, blame him. Is that all right to do that? Or should I forgive? And no. But it does. It just like sets me off. And I actually have trouble getting into worship because I'm so focused on the bad sound. And it, Richard's, I saw that. And this is like, I've experienced it other places. I've experienced it even at, you know, Elvis Festival. I couldn't dance for the guy, you know, dance with the music because he sounded so terrible. I really get out of it. So it's all done, I don't really feel it. Whose fault is that? That's mine. That's my own fault. You know, do you know it's not the responsibility of leaders? It's not Benny Hinn's responsibility, not Yonggi Cho, not the Hillsong Choir to bring you into an experience with God. It is not their job. That's your job. You are the one responsible for bringing yourself into God's presence. I don't want to hear anymore that we didn't feel God. Because he's always around and able to be felt. And we just have to turn ourselves off a bit or figure out how to tune in more to what is going on. And if you look around, like all those times where maybe I didn't feel it that day, and there's been lots of times, like I didn't feel like worshiping. You know, even, you know, funny music aside, my own personal life, I came in feeling I had troubles at home, and I don't mean in my home life. I mean, like, not with Mike. You know, maybe someone is sick, maybe someone, you know, maybe even my kids kept me all up all night long, which they do sometimes. Not anymore, thank you, Jesus. But, you know, they have. And, you know, I didn't feel like worshiping. I remember I was telling Vero this morning one time when I was pregnant with Leah, I threw up in the car and I came here and I sang. And I had to actually leave partway through because I didn't want to have you all experience what I did earlier in the morning. But, you know, that was just an example of me. I did it anyways and I did not feel like it. But the thing is, when I don't feel like it, and if I realize what's going on, like I realize that I'm really not feeling it and it's not to do with anybody else but me, I start acting like it until I feel it. I learned, my sister always tells her kids, if you are feeling grumpy, start smiling until what comes on the outside starts feeling on the inside. So I'll start doing this. I got my hands in the air and then I'll try a little, we call this a Holy Ghost hop sometimes, us old schoolers. You know, we do a little bit of dancing. I'll sing and, you know, I'll try to get myself in the zone. I'll try to, you know, sometimes I might just try to focus and really get in. And I do end up experiencing it. Because, you know, whatever I came in feeling like, I look around me and you'll always find at least five people who are really feeling it. So if you aren't, why don't you also take your cue from what's going on beside you? You know, if you're not too sure where God is at that moment, look for somebody who looks like they're having a God experience and go stand beside them. Go stand beside them or just look at them for a while. Start praying for them. Start praying that, you know, that starts happening to you. Find some way to get yourself connected into it. because again, it's all of our responsibility to do that. And when we start doing that corporately, then we are able to move upward if we honor what's happening to everybody else who's around us and realize that God is here. You know, we all, and I definitely include myself in this, like to look to point a finger to say, you know, who is it that has not done their part enough to bring us into the experience of God today? You know, was it a sermon that didn't quite make sense? Was it, you know, songs that you didn't really like? Like sometimes for me too, it's not even just about the quality of the song. It's like, oh, I don't like that song. I don't want to sing that, you know? It's like, oh, you know, should I, oh, sorry, Carrie. We'll change it next time just to suit your needs. That's not going to happen. And it shouldn't happen. You know, it's up to us. So when all is said and done, and this life is over, you are going to be standing in front of God alone. I'm not going to be there. Nobody in this church is going to be patting you on the back on your way up. You're going to be standing there by yourself, and God's going to ask you what you did with your life. To me, that makes me almost quake. I kind of like, oh, oh dear. It kind of like snaps me into attention. You know, like he's a general. He's the high commander. And it snaps me back into attention. And what I'm doing with my life currently. What are you doing? Are you spending those times with God? You know, we have to, every once in a while, look into our life and ask those important questions. Do you find that sometimes, like for me, I know I can just be continuing on in my life and I just keep going and going and going, and then every once in a while, this is one of those times right now, happening to me in front of you, where God comes and says, what are you doing? You know, are you encountering God? It's a good question. Am I a part of this revival? Are you a part of it? Are you standing on the side, or you do not even notice that it was going on? Or are you in there? And am I a good dwelling place for the Holy Spirit? Am I letting him come inside me, and am I letting him change me? Not just live there. I don't want the Holy Spirit to be my roommate. Because you can do that. Like, we can all ask the Holy Spirit to come in and just have him be a roommate. I want the Holy Spirit to be my lover and to love me intimately, and I want to do things with the Holy Spirit. I want to see everything. I really, really do. I want to see those miracles. I want to see changed hearts. I want to see more salvations. I want to have open-eyed visions that just go crazy. I want to go to heaven all the time. I want any weird thing that happened in the Bible, I want to do that. One of my goals, I haven't shared this with very many people, I want to be able to hit the ground and see water come out of it. And I'm not talking about just outside, I mean in the gym. I want to go, yeah, like, why not? It's a part of everything. It's a part of like who God is. Why not take, it's not, again, not taking advantage, but why not like hold on to what we could possibly do? We have the Spirit of the living God inside our body. Why the heck not? Okay. You know, we have so many excuses sometimes about why we haven't done things yet. I've had a lot. Some of mine would be, oh God, I don't really know if you're really saying that. That's a really good one of mine. I like to use frequently. You know, I have confidence when I come into a church and when I know, when I kind of And I don't need to know the people, but when I know that people are coming up for prophecy, I don't have any problem. I can prophesy right there. It's when it's somebody standing behind me in line at the grocery store. Oh, no. God's going to make me do this week. Oh, dear. He just told me something. Okay, so anyways, so now I have to be good on it. But my throat will start to close a little bit. I'm telling everybody everything today. And then my face will start to go a bit red, and I'll be, I think that God is saying to you. And, like, you know, there's been lots of times, you know, sometimes it doesn't go anywhere. Or sometimes when you're prophesying, you don't really know how it's going with the people. But most of the time, like, it is God speaking. What Mike says, I shouldn't use this all the time as my gauge. One of my gauges is, if it's not an idea that I would come up with on my own and it's something that I don't want to do, it's probably God. That's my gauge. You know, that's my gut gauge to tell whether this is from God or not. But you all have your own excuses that you use. You know, I'm tired and busy. I have lots to do. The truth is, we are all responsible for our own encounters with God. And we are all responsible to take time out of our day somehow and pray and really get to know Him better. And for me, in my own life, I do have times where I can actually, I don't answer the phone. And I just sit down and I pray and pray and pray and pray until one of my kids wakes up and needs me again, and or I read my Bible, whatever. But I also have very great times washing the dishes and having a shower. Some of you need to start doing this. Pray in the shower. If you tell me, yeah, if you say you don't have time during the day, well, while you're showering, I really doubt that you'll be texting and filling out a report at that time. Pray in the shower. And if you sing, you sound really good. Okay? The acoustics will go off. Let the shower be your place of worship. Pray on the bus on your commute. Okay? That was also another great time for me. Because before, when I was working, me and Mike would take transit every day, and it was a long 3 bus rides. I had lots of time to sit and pray. Pray while you're driving. Pray while you're walking from point A to point B. And then while you're at work or wherever you are and you're having struggle with something, just ask God, can you help me here, help me there? Start talking to Him all the time in your head. For a while, I used to wake up and say, what do you want me to eat? What should I eat today? You say, well, you should have a glass of milk, you know. And, you know, whether you're hearing perfectly all the time, doesn't matter. You're doing it. You're trying, right? So take all those times and take all those excuses that you have for not having any time, and it's time to get rid of them now. That's done, because you do. If you have time to do your hair, you have time to pray. And really experience God and everything that He has to offer, because He has so much to offer. So, before we get into praying for each other, so we're going to pray for each other today. Let's think again. So, the first sort of thing was, we have the Holy Spirit where? Living? Inside of us. Okay, so we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. The Spirit of the living God, who created everything, who created the world, who knows how many cells are in your body. Who knows where each cell is at each precise moment, knows how many skin cells you have, how many hair on your head, how many you were born with, how many you're going to die with, has seen the beginning and the end, has given Jesus, who, like, imagine, you know, created everything out there, every leaf, every drop of rain. He knows exactly when it's going to fall. He knows when the first drop hits the ground, and He knows when it's the last one after cloud has passed over. And He knows when the next one is coming. He has Satan under His feet, already been defeated. He knows every tear you cry and every joyful expression you make. He knows exactly when your first laugh was, and he knows when your last one's going to be. And he is sitting in heaven waiting very expectantly for you. And he is going to be just as happy to see you as you are to see him. That God is living inside your body. Let's take advantage of that. Next, we have a church that wants to see us grow and develop. In fact, we encourage people to grow and develop. Whatever gift that you have that you feel a little bit iffy about, we will draw it out by force, if necessary. We always give everybody a free will, but come on. We want to see it because we tasted what it feels like to start doing it. You know, when me and Mike first started in this church, we started on connections. Honestly, connections is not my favorite thing to do. But I did it, and from that, I got to do so much more. And I grew from that, and I knew where God was calling me, but I had to take those first steps towards it. And, you know, through this, I'm starting to live what I feel God wants me to do. I know he wants me to speak. I know, because it feels good when I'm up here. It feels comfortable for me, because it just, someone who prophesies a lot needs to talk. And I've always talked a lot, but I need to get it out. I remember sometimes I'd be driving with my dad in the car, and I'd look at him and I'd say, I just need to tell you something. This is when prophecy was just starting to fall out. He's like, what is it? I'm like, I don't know. But I got to say something, because it just feels good to say it. You know, we have so many chances and so many opportunities, and we are living in a revival. CACF has been in a revival. We are part of TACF congregation. We have been in revival for years. So we got the Holy Spirit. We got a church that's giving us opportunities, and we're already living in a revival. Oh, this should be an epiphany. Wow. Now what? Now we get up and we command our spirits to be awakened again. And we command ourselves to line up with what God wants and God's purposes. And this is not just what I said before. It's just not about doing. It's living the best way that you can now so you can live the best way later. And so you can change other people around you. Because, as you know, we are in a battle. This is the battleground. It's one fight. It really is only one war. There's not World War I, World War II, World War III. We're living just one war. And that is to get as many people as we can saved before Jesus returns and before they die. And this is how we do it. We take hold of everything that God has given us. We waken up and we realize that we can do even more. And it will leave you feeling better. I know some of you are starting to feel a little nervous. You're like, oh no. But the thing is, it makes you feel better. It's like when you start off running and first you're a little bit out of breath and things like that. But then as you continue, you know, practicing and running, you start to get in better and better shape. And, you know, you start to, oh, I feel good. I look good. It's the same thing. Once you start doing something of God, it doesn't feel right. Always, you know, it makes you out of breath. But then the more you do it, the better you feel and the more you want to do. Do I have time yet? Yeah, that's another main thing. The more you do, the more you want to do. You will find that. It's an appetite that in a way is satisfied, but is also never satisfied. Does that make sense? Like you feel like, oh, that feels good. I want more now. I want to have another course. I want another meal. Another sign and another wonder. That's what Jay says. Yeah. Like it's true. Like I remember I'd pray for some miraculous things to come and, you know, I see gold dust and things like that and find gold dust here and there. But anyways, then I'd see that and like, okay, now what? I remember saying to God once, I really like the gold dust, but now what can we do? I want to do something more now. I want to, because it's just, and I still appreciate the gold dust just as much as I did on the first day, and I still get excited, and I still every once in a while will check to see what I got. But, you know, it's like, I want more of it now. Okay. Trying to think. Put your hand on your eyes. And we're going to do a prayer. Now, when you pray, sometimes when I hear preachers say, repeat after me, I'm very cautious. Because I don't want them to lead me into a prayer yet that I'm not quite yet ready to make. And, you know, it may sound strange, but, you know, it's basically, you want to be honest with God, so don't say anything that you don't mean. So you can take your time, you can listen to what I'm saying, and then sort of decide. Okay? Honestly, because you really want to be open with God and not pray for something that you're not going to follow through on, all right? All right. So, what I'm going to be praying, so you know in advance, is that Jesus would awaken our spirits, okay, and that we'd have an awakening and our eyes would be opened, okay? So in Jesus' name, read after me, in Jesus' name, I command my spirit to wake up and to see what God has to offer. I just command my spirit to look into spiritual realms and to see the angels and what they are doing, and to see what God's plan here is on earth. Amen. Now I want to take time. I want you guys to take time to get in groups of 2, 3, no more than 4, and just pray together for, I don't know, 5 minutes even, that you would start to have a more of a realization of what's happening. And that you would be able to feel that revival. And while you're praying, I will be praying sort of over you as I feel led God is sort of directing us. Okay, so break off right now. I want you to feel fired up. That's my goal. I want you to feel fired up. All right.
Yeah. All right. Before you start praying, put your hand on your belly. And just confess, the Spirit of the living God, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, lives in me.
Lives in me. Shaharamotare Adrama. Shika soyadrama soya kia. Shobana rasotaramanara kitoya shana mananasa. Shataramanakaya dramonamana to kandramanata soma kuyata. Father God, honor our time here today. As we come before you in all humility and just cry out for you and cry out for more of you, God, and for more of an awakening of ourselves, help us to understand what it is that you're doing in Jesus' name. I pray that people would start to be able to feel the fire of God raining on them. They'd be able to feel the fire of God's touch. How his finger can touch you and just burn up everything that is not of him. In Jesus' name. Shakalala. I command your spirit to awaken, be called forth in the name of Jesus. As Jesus called out Lazarus from the dead, we say, come forth in the name of Jesus. Shakalamoso. Tell God what you want to see. Tell God what you're looking for, what your heart desires. Let him know. As you're there with your group, tell him what do you want to see, and start praying that and declaring for that. If you want to see more miracles, pray for more miracles. If you want to see your life just change for him, start changing, start seeing it. We have to start somewhere, so let's start now. Tell God what you want to do. Where is it that you want to see yourself when you die and there's like a eulogy written up about you, what do you want it to say? Do you want to have it say that you were a preacher, that you led a healing ministry, that you were able to prophesy over many, or that you were a mother to many, a father to many? What is it that you want to say, have said about you? What do you want to do? Start declaring that. What is it that you want to do?
Broken.